that's more than just singing soft, singing loud, singing fast, singing slow. It's a certain release of the singer's personality. It's like pouring some juice into the voice that comes only from the singer's own experience of living, I'm sure. Not that you have to go around stabbing people to play Tosca wonderfully, or you don't have to go rushing around doing the dance of the seven bears to sing Salome, but the ability to get to the core of what you think the composer wanted. Softly, you know, suave, it doesn't mean softly, it really doesn't.
You want the beginning. Maybe mezzo piano?
Okay.
It's not the notes, but the musical intangibles that count for repetiteur Gwen Halsted as she works to fine-tune a singer's phrasing. Halsted's job is to bring out the emotion in a song, as part musical expert, part drama coach. During this recent session, it was breathing and pacing that posed problems for Chicago area soprano Linda Rogan as she polished pieces for an upcoming recital. Rogan had already spent hours working on them. Before coming to her repetiteur, she did her homework with a voice coach.
She works with me on getting the voice quality in the line of the piece. We don't even use words when we first begin, so that if I come fairly well equipped with the notes, then she can work on my voice and we sing maybe the whole piece on vowels, and then we apply the language to the music. Then after we get those parts together, I'm ready to go to Gwen.
Stylizing the piece is the work of repetiteur Gwen Halsted.
A repetiteur is a French word meaning to repeat, to repeat, to repeat. And of course that sounds deadly boring. And that's what you must do when you're first learning. It applies to a particular opera coach. If you're going over the role that the singer has to learn, of course you'll have to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. You can't breathe there.
Oh, okay.
It would sound pretty ridiculous.
But it's a hole.
I know, you have to hold it too.
Okay.
I think the whole thing has to be one in one breath.
Okay.
Let's go from what makes me think, because this is a very strange harmony here. It's not teaching singers how to read thirds and fifths and work out the intervals and bashing the notes out to make sure they're singing in tune. Just people have long since done that. They've done that when they were probably children. It's getting the style right of every single and every different piece that I hear. And then it's music.
A native of Australia, Halsted fell into this specialty after a long music career that included early days as a Highland dancer, playing piano for opera classes at England's Royal College of Music and serving as accompanist for various choirs. She most liked working with voices and honed her skills as repetiteur. A tribute to Halsted's talent is the patience with which most of her students accept the nitpicking, often harsh criticism that pours from this otherwise unassuming woman.
Now, don't hold it for so long. It sounds so Italian. If you hold that top note,
okay.
It's rough and rather
strict.
A hateful word, tasteless, you know?
Yes.
Let's go from the tempo one.
Words like tasteless, or Halsted's accusation that Rogan pumped out her words like a string of sausages, might seem a bit tough to take, but Rogan actually seems eager for this criticism.
I do this at home. A singer does this anyway, but to have company and to get another point of view is very exciting, especially when you think you've gotten all of it that you can get out of the piece, and you feel like there's something missing. I still don't have this quite the way I want it, and you don't know by yourself how to do that, Gwen can show me the way.
It's exciting for Halstead, too, though sometimes it's uncomfortable to be so brutally honest.
I heard a young lady singing several weeks ago in public here in Chicago. And after the performance, I went to her and said, "You can't really sing that. You're too young to sing it. It's an old lady's aria. Don't do it. It's not showing off your voice to the best advantage." And when we next worked, she worked on things that were more suitable for her age group.
While most repetiteurs work on the staff of an opera company, Halstead prefers to work freelance. She's a consultant to the Chicago Opera Theater and teaches many individual singers. Her resume includes jobs with Chicago's Lyric Opera and Joan Sutherland, though Halstead balks at requests to list the stars in her clientele for fear of offending those who might be left out. Some may call Gwen Halstead a voice coach, but she bristles at what she considers to be a sports reference and prefers the term repetiteur. She might also be called a musical law enforcement officer, on the lookout for the misplaced breath, muddled consonant, or rote recital that stands in the way of beautiful music. For National Public Radio, I'm Arch Halperin in Chicago.
Thank you.
Some of the most radical stars of the 1960s are active once again. Mary Prankster Wavy Gravy, Ram Dass, Grateful Dead manager Daniel Rifkin, and a host of progressive doctors and business leaders make up the board of directors of the Seva Foundation. Seva is Sanskrit for service, and this Chelsea, Michigan-based organization brings health care and economic support to refugees and villagers in Nepal, India, and Central America. It's done primarily through grassroots donations, and as Marge Halpern reports, Seva's Gifts of Service catalog is among the group's biggest fundraisers. What to get for that hard-to-please friend, the guy who has everything? The Seva Foundation suggests a donation that buys the gift of sight for a child in Nepal. For reasons researchers haven't been able to determine, that country has an astounding 25,000 new cases each year of people young and old blinded by cataracts. For 10 years, Seva, spelled S-E-V-A, has been training local doctors to perform cataract surgeries. The program is overseen in part by Ram Dass, formerly Richard Alpert, the Harvard professor who, along with Timothy Leary, was kicked out of the university for experimenting with psychedelic drugs. Now Ram Dass travels around the world, spending much of his time touring Seva's eye camps in Nepal.
We send a medical team of Nepalis into an area in which they then take over a schoolroom and have advertised weeks in advance, and people bring their relatives and friends, often on their backs, by foot, for these eye operations. The team often operates with flashlights in very crude situations, but the recovery rate is very, very impressive because they're very well trained.
Seva annually performs tens of thousands of cataract surgeries, each for $15, estimating the cost at $45 for children. Seva's gift catalog also offers the chance to buy a livelihood for a widow living in the Guatemalan highlands. Ram Dass says this program helps revitalize villages where local violence has killed most of the men and livestock.
One of the ways is to give them goats, which then provide milk for their children who are often malnourished, and you can see that red hair that breaks off because of vitamin deficiencies. And also the new baby kids are then given to another village to help other widows, so that we give a goat to a woman and then she earns the goat by the first baby being given to another village. So there's a great deal of dignity in the whole process.
When Ram Dass isn't touring third world villages, he's touring this country, giving speeches for Seva and his many other causes, from the New York homeless to San Francisco AIDS patients. He preaches the tenets of Eastern religion that have drawn so many celebrities and fellow 60s activists. He tells his audiences, service is an incredible yoga. It was one of those speeches that convinced Chicago psychologist Bill Ellis to order most of his Christmas gifts from the Seva catalog. He expects his children and friends to be pleasantly surprised when they discover their gifts are actually going to others this year.
They'll appreciate this more than if they got some gift that was a material thing that they really didn't need, perhaps, that they were doing something for others less fortunate. My hope is that they will, in turn, think in these lines in their life, that it's a model for them too.
That's the way Seva chairperson Mira Bush hopes others view the gift catalog, and she ought to know what appeals to the masses. It was her own company that marketed those transparent rainbow decals so popular on car windows during the late 1970s.
We don't take any government funding. We've had some foundation funding and some large donors, but the strength of Seva is our grassroots support, individual people sending us small contributions several times a year. And the catalog allows individual people to feel connected to our projects in the field.
For those who want to see something more tangible for their money than a written acknowledgement, Seva's catalog includes handicrafts from Guatemala, handwoven purses, friendship bracelets, and what's billed as a politically correct baby bib. Proceeds from the sale of those items are returned to the villagers. For National Public Radio, I'm Marge Halperin in Chicago.